This episode of How Was Your Run Today is being sponsored by
Newmark Grubb Knight Frank. Newmark Grubb Knight Frank is one of the world's leading commercial real estate brokerage and advisory firms. Whether your business is a small tech or service firm looking to grow into professional space, or an established multi-city business with operations everywhere, NGFK can help you navigate the market and empower you to make optimal real estate decisions for your company. Executive Managing Director David Martell and his team have advised firms of all sizes on their leases, from 400,000 square feet to as little as 1,500 square feet, and they've sold some of Boston's most iconic properties, such as the Hancock Tower, Converse Headquarters, and 699 Boylston Street, which sits right at the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
Hey, Peter, I've run past that building.
Yeah, the one time you did, Brian. The one time.
For more information about Newmark Grubb Knight Frank, call 617-863-8525. Again, Peter, that's 617-863-8525, or visit ngkf.com.
Newmark Grubb Knight Frank. Global presence, local expertise. Brian, fresh from our record-breaking episode 40, here we are once again in the place to be. I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead, Peter.
Brian?
Yes?
How was your run today?
Let me tell you how my run was today. I got up, once again, 5 o'clock in the morning, walked my dogs, got in the car, drove to Brookline.
Hey, Brookline, I live there.
I know you do, but you weren't awake probably when I showed up.
No, sir.
I parked, I walked up Summit Ave, yeah, which, yeah, as you told me, but I envisioned what for Boston would be a steep hill.
Yeah, no.
Not only is it a little steeper than I thought.
No, it's actually steep.
It's three times longer.
Yeah, it's so long.
It is for real.
It's so big.
It's a strong hill.
It's worthy of the November Project's efforts.
Yeah. So I got up there. I put my water down. And I...
Did you lay down? Because when I get to the top, I lie down.
It kind of was. It was steep just going walking up to prepare. And then I prepared as best I could for something that I had no idea what was coming. Do you know what I'm saying? It's hard to prepare when you don't know what it is you're preparing for.
Well, the thing about the November Project, which is so exciting actually, is each and every Friday when they get together there in that location, it is a little different every single time. So I actually don't know what you did in comparison to what I did.
Well, I knew it would involve running up and down Summit Ave in some capacity, which it certainly did. Again, that hill is so much more steep and long than I thought it was. So just that would have been an incredible workout. But let me tell you this. They added a little spice. When you got to the top,
yeah,
you had to cut across a little grassy area.
Beautiful.
And then fight your way through some gladiators.
Explain.
Well, gladiators.
No, I know what those are.
Okay. So these were... Usually they would switch them up from time to time because this would be in one part of your run here. But usually they were the largest, most muscular people of the people who had shown up.
Of the tribe.
Intimidatingly muscular.
Headgear or?
Yes, one was wearing a true gladiator helmet. And they were holding those big football pads that you put around your arms. They're, you know, like 4 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide.
They look like big mats almost, yes, right? Big solid.
And then as you ran toward them, they would pummel you.
Awesome.
And you had to fight your way through them. And the first time I ran up, and to my surprise, Boyan was holding one, who we interviewed.
Hey. Co-founder Boyan.
Right. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just give him a little arm tap, and he'll give me a little tap.
Yeah,
and
a little love, a little high five
and
love.
I thought, well, what's going to be really funny is I'm going to joke around. As soon as he taps me, I'm going to stumble to my left,
oh,
and then
pretend.
I'll tap the other gladiator,
oh, yeah,
and then I'll be on my way, and it'll everybody be like, ha, ha, ha.
Like a theater exercise. Yeah. Oh, yeah, pantomime.
Precisely, because, come on, this is all fun and games. So I run up the hill.
Yes.
Get to Boyan.
Yes.
I arm tap him.
Oh, yeah, how'd he do?
He thumps me.
Yeah, as he should.
And I literally go flying. Out of control.
Good.
To the other way, past the other gladiator. I was totally knocked off my game and
welcome,
my balance.
Welcome.
And to my surprise, this was all captured. and then post it onto social media. So and
that's awesome.
There's a photo of me looking like...
Yeah, I went right to that today. Yeah,
my weekend started early because Boyan knocked me right into Saturday from Friday morning.
I have a couple questions for you about...
But it was a great workout, and I will say this. My heart rate went through the roof. I had my heart rate monitor on.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an aerobic workout in any way.
No.
But when I walked back to the car, I was not sore or really feeling too terrible. So I have to say, I felt pretty good about it. So I think those stadiums are helping me continue to build a good base.
Well, I have a couple questions for you. The first is, because you've now done about four or five sessions with the November Project, six, seven?
Yeah.
Look at you. Have you had anything tagged?
Yes, I had an old tech shirt tagged. I haven't worn it yet, though, because for some reason I grabbed a long sleeve one, and it hasn't been long sleeve weather.
No, a few more weeks for that. And did you feel, as I may have said in episode 40, that the Brookline Summit Ave is a more intimate group? It's a little bit smaller than what happens at the stadiums.
It's smaller. It seems to be, core group. I recognize a lot of people who are always at the Wednesday workouts. But it's hard to... I'm very new to it. So I don't really know. It seems like everybody else knows everybody else, and I don't know anybody. So, But still, it's fun. It's addictive because how often do you get to work out with another 100 or 150 people? It's really great.
And is it similar to the Coliseum one in that there's two sessions, like a 5:30 and a 6:30? Or did this seem like it only started at 6:30?
No, for this one, it was just at 6:30.
That's what I thought. I thought it was like noise regulation thing in the neighborhood. That's what I had heard.
In fact, in the November Project book, there's like a whole chapter, a whole section about Summit Ave, how it came to be, and how there are noise ordinances. And interestingly, how... they had to talk their way through the police, and they were going to get kicked off and this and that. And then finally, through kindness and good acts, they have become friends of the people living on Summit Ave. And in fact, several people were there because they said, run by Judy's house, run past Steve's house or whatever, right down there. So that was cool.
Fun.
I made those names up. I actually don't know what their names were. I don't remember.
Brian, do you have a second? Could you join me in the medical tent?
Let's go. I need a run.
10 cc's of running, stat. Thanks for coming in, Brian. I just wanted to give you a quick update of where I am along here with my recovery.
I really want to know. Now, even a week ago, you said things were feeling better. How are they feeling now?
Well, I'm just, by the time this airs, I will have finished up my anti-inflammatory medication.
Mm-hmm.
I have been already to three or now four physical therapy sessions.
Okay.
That's been phenomenal. Physical therapy is great. If you're in the Metro Boston area, I highly recommend New England Physical Therapy, located in Brighton. Big shout out to Jillian, my physical therapist, who has been phenomenal and is taking great care of me and is making me work, which is great.
Well, that's what I was going to ask because I've never had physical therapy for tendonitis before. I've many other issues, but not that. So I didn't know if it was just going to be sort of massage and manipulation or you're doing real resistance exercises.
I'm doing real exercises for about half hour to 40 minutes. And then I get I do get a massage out on both ankles toward the last 15 minutes or so. And it's been great. And I have exercises to do at home, which I've been trying to do quite regularly with a resistance elastic.
Oh, yes.
And in general, just... try not to use, again, go any cardio that's full body weight. So I've been doing a lot of bike. And I did attempt a spin class and just stayed in position one pretty much the entire time.
That's just sitting on the seat, right?
Yeah, which is actually hard to do if you're actually trying to follow what the class is doing, and especially if they're doing sort of hill mimicking, hill work.
Right.
You really want to jump up into two and three. And I did try it a little bit, but instantly I could tell that was not what I should be doing. So I stayed pretty much in one.
You could feel it in your ankles away.
Yeah. So I have a little bit longer to go here. We're going to see how we do. But I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous about, as you know, Brian.
Yes, sir.
I am scheduled to run the New York City Marathon. We should probably not play the music so much. That's all I'm saying. Because it...
Because what's happened? I sense...
As much as I want to do
some sort of emotion on your face.
I'm concerned now that if I follow the doctor's orders, which again, the co-founders of November Project urged me to do.
I believe they're not medical doctors,
though. No, but they said don't listen. I mean, they said do listen to doctors. Don't listen to your id. Yeah. I'm really not scheduled to run again well into September. That means I'd have less than 2 full months to train properly for a full marathon.
Oof.
I just don't know if that's realistic.
Oof.
I'll know more soon.
Right.
I have my follow-up with my doctor very soon, and we'll know more. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to lower expectations.
Well, that, I think, is valid.
Because I want to be fully healed. Go with me on this strategy.
Yes.
I want to be fully healed so that I can watch you run Millinocket.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, I want to be able to stand up for most of that.
You're going to have to keep shoveling the space you're in as we run through a blizzard.
Snow. You know what? I bet you it's going to be warm that day.
Who knows?
I'm pretty excited for that. That's December 10th. Is that correct?
Yeah.
We could have a little HWYRT meetup there on December 10th.
Well, we will. I know at least one listener who's going to be there.
All right.
That's you, Steve.
Wow. While I have you in the medical tent, before we step out,
yeah,
very quickly,
mm-hmm.
How's the store?
Well, we're prepared to sell medical supplies and medical prescriptions and
advice. There's gauze and tongue depressors.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense that we'd be talking about the store in the medical tent. But I'll tell you,
we can do it a different way.
We're very close, Peter. We're going to hit our September 1st deadline for the grand opening. In fact, you probably haven't visited the website, which has been completely revamped.
Have you overhauled it?
Well, I haven't done anything. The interns have all done it.
The fleet of interns.
The fleet of
interns.
They
were about to lose.
We've got a
summer
great
break.
Crop.
It's coming to an end. We're going to lose
them.
Oh,
well.
Bye, Micah. Bye, Aaron. Those are our interns, Micah and Aaron. You don't even know their names.
No, we don't pay them. I don't need to know their names. That's not true. Folks, we don't actually have any interns, if you were wondering. But it's funny to say.
All right. So anyway, that was my medical update. So we can leave the tent now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It's hot in that tent, isn't it?
It's a little sticky. There's not a lot of airflow in that tent.
We got to get another. We need a back flap.
We need bigger flaps.
Big old flap in the back.
Hey, you know, we have a listener question.
Like a written one? Like email?
Voice memo.
Like we asked for?
Like everybody should be doing.
I love it. Can
Thanks,
we hear it?
Gray.
Let's hear it. Let's What's his go. Name? His name's Gray?
Yep.
Gray?
Yep.
Gray?
Yep.
Hey, Brian and Peter. This is Gray in North Carolina. I've got a question for you guys about pacing. Unlike you, I do most of my running on a treadmill. So whenever I do end up running outside or in races, I tend to go out way too fast, and it really saps my energy, and it's particularly bad in races. So I was just wondering if you have any advice as to what I could do to learn how to pace myself better. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Gray. Peter?
Yes.
Gray asked us a real running question.
I know. It's instantly making me nervous.
If he had asked us what brand of hot dogs we prefer.
KM, natural casing.
I like Ballpark Franks, thank you.
That's fine.
Or Nathan's.
Nathan's are very good.
Yeah,
so
I grew
are,
up on Nathan's on Long Island.
Long Island, yeah. Good for you. Here's my advice. I'm sure you have real wisdom, but here's my gut instinct. Whatever distance you plan on running next, let's say it's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
First 4 miles, whatever your average pace really ends up being, back that off by 2 minutes per mile. So if you run an 8-minute mile, run a 10-minute mile for 4 miles. Slow it all down for the front half and make yourself do it. Now, he's lucky because he's doing it on a treadmill, so he can really watch and know for sure.
Well, I think maybe we're hearing the question differently. I thought the issue was that because he's on a treadmill, he knows exactly what his pace is all the time. But then when he gets out on the road,
he's wide
or
open.
He gets onto a race,
he
has
know
no idea how fast he's
everything
running.
Goes a little bit faster.
And so the obvious solution, I mean, is you have to buy a watch that has GPS so you know
and
your
run
pace.
And run outside.
Yeah.
And get used to real courses and real roads
so,
and trails, yeah.
Right, so you can either get a GPS watch.
You should
and
do both.
That way you're looking and seeing your pace just like you're on a treadmill, or you can...
slow that way down first half. Make yourself do it. And that's awful. But
well, and you can also... if you can go outside and measure out a mile or two, and then you don't need a GPS watch because you can just literally time yourself with a stopwatch or with your watch and get used to what those paces feel like outside. So it is good to know, whether you have your watch or not, what your normal pace feels like, your race pace feels like, 3 minutes slower than that pace.
The other thing he can do, which would involve no money, because a GPS watch does cost some money, mm-hmm. is he could run with somebody else who, between the two of them, they know the other person is slower and he has to keep pace with them.
Yeah, and a lot of larger races have pace groups. So yep. you can join that minute, and they're usually pretty segmented by 30 seconds or even yep. less. So you can join that pace group. But yeah, either run with others or invest in a GPS watch. And there's so much other interesting data that you can get out of those watches. I think it's a good investment. I put it off for many years, but I love mine.
I'd be fascinated to know, Gray, if you want to follow up with an email or another voice note, what distances are we talking here? Are you doing 10Ks? Are you doing halves? Are you doing full marathons?
Yeah, the longer the race, if you start off too fast, you're really in trouble.
You're hosed.
Yeah.
And we know from our one experience, Boston is very... no, but Boston is notorious for that.
Yeah,
because it's downhill for about close to 15 miles. And yeah. then all of a sudden, the last 10 or 11 decide to destroy you and eat you and spit yeah. you out.
And if you start off too fast...
You're done.
You're done. As opposed to a flat marathon or something that has, sort of undulating, you're not going to run into that situation as much.
But that was a great first question as a voice memo record, wasn't it?
I think we should get more.
I agree with you.
How would people do this, Peter?
Well, Brian, if you want to be cool like Gray, and who doesn't? Because a name like Gray is pretty darn awesome.
It's fantastic.
You would send a voice recorded memo through your phone or computer to howwasyourruntoday@gmail.com. Just drop it in as an attachment, little file, and we'll figure out a way to play it, much like we did with Mr. Gray's.
I think that's a good plan.
Brian, you look like you have something you want to say. Yeah, you do. No, I can tell. I'm looking right at you. I see you.
Peter, can I correct an error I made in our last podcast?
Wow. Okay. I don't know why you would do that, but go ahead.
Well, I'm so embarrassed, and it also leads to another kind of bizarre quirk I have.
Okay.
In our interview with the November Project folks, I mentioned the Andiron Mountains inside Boulder near the Chautauqua Institution that I was running by. Do you know what don't exist in Boulder, Colorado?
Those mountains?
The Andiron Mountains. Of course, they're the Flatiron Mountains.
What did you call them originally?
The Andirons are those iron things in a fireplace that hold the log in. Sometimes they're decorative. Sometimes they're just, black little posts that hold your logs in your fireplace. Those are andirons.
Did you get an email about this?
No.
What are you, are you like the New York Times?
I realized it, but here's something even funnier. For the first, 30 years of my life, I thought that the word Flatiron, there's a Flatiron District in New York City. There are Flatiron buildings, Flatiron Mountains. I thought these were all the Flatiron buildings.
Oh, that's amazing. Is that true? Are you saying real stuff right now?
I thought there was a famous Flatiron building in Midtown Manhattan.
Well, but like a flat iron was at the time the only kind of iron you could have. You'd heat it up. It was a piece of iron. It was flat. It had a handle.
It was triangle shaped.
Yes, exactly. Hence the Flatiron building in Union Square in Manhattan. Yes.
And I thought the architect's name was Flatiron.
Okay, that's amazing.
It's true.
Every single time you say it, it's equally amazing.
And then there were these Flatiron Mountains out in Colorado, and I thought, well, there's something going on with this word. Maybe it's a French word, and it means
Flatiron. Oh, très bien, Flatiron.
And then I couldn't even come up with the right term. I didn't say Flatiron or Flatiron. I said Andiron Mountains.
Because you were so worried about saying Flatiron, maybe.
Was true. I didn't want to say Flatiron Mountains and get laughed out of my own interview.
I'm going to just give you, to even this out,
yes,
a little something.
Okay.
When I was 20,
yes,
after living in Manhattan for 2 years, I realized one day that it was not Times Square where the ball dropped. go left. I'm sharing something where the ball drops to celebrate New Year's, Times Square.
Because that's where the clock is.
That's where the clock is. That's where, right, Times Square. That it was actually where the New York Times was, New York Times Times Square. So you're a jerk. Please move on.
I can't stop laughing. Please turn my mic off. I can't stop laughing. That's magnificent, Peter. Times Square.
That's begging you to play the music and move on right
what,
now.
What I love is that both of our bizarre word flummoxes happen in New York City.
Within like a 10 to 12 block radius.
That's yeah. right, yeah. Not yeah. even a cab ride, no, really.
A lot of weirdness
you would never
happens
do
around
that.
There. I thought it was Times Square. It's where the ball drops, you know. It's where the New Year comes in. Made sense to me.
Peter.
Hello?
Hey, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about the BAA Half Marathon.
Well, Brian, as you know, I am scheduled to perform in the BAA Half Marathon on October the 9th. I think that's right. It's a Sunday. It's going to be in the Franklin Park area. And yeah, it's a 13.1-mile race, of course, and it's the last leg of the BAA medley. So one way or another, I'm going, and one way or another, I will check in, and one way or another, I'll get my tech shirt. And I'm going to tell you this right now, no matter what, I'm going to be physically on the entire course.
Excellent.
Whether or not I'm trying to PR or not is yet to be decided. I may just go to do it.
Peter, I can tell you that it is October 9th, which is the Sunday of Columbus Day weekend.
Thank you.
And we do know that there's going to be some listeners there. You think it's going to be a good time to have a meet up?
I feel it is, because if the 10K was any example...
That was fantastic.
People didn't need much notice to come on out and be part of a group picture and a group hang and just shake hands and tell stories. I would love it if people who are signed up for the BAA Half Marathon, or people who just know they want to go watch, who are fans of the show, if you guys want to come out, we should meet very close to where we finish and we get our medals. And I think we can find a place and we can send that out by social media a couple days before where a good place is to meet. But there's going to be a couple areas, you know, near bag pickup is always good because people have to go there.
Right, and where they have the bananas and t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. Hey, you know, that brings something up. Folks, if you like the show, and I know we say this in the credits all the time.
All the time.
But do join us on social media, either on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, because that's where we put up information that is really current. Sometimes the shows, we record them a little early and it takes time to edit them, or we're putting a show together with an interview or something like that, and all the current stuff happens in social media. So do sign up, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and then we'll be able to put out meetups and things like that as they occur, and you'll be able to communicate with us that way as well.
And I would say one more thing about that meetup on October 9th, Brian. After the race, the store will be up and running for a good 5 weeks.
That's a true statement.
So if anybody wants to get on that store and buy themselves a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or any kind of swag with any one of our logos on it and be part of a group picture after the race, I say do it.
That's fantastic. Oh, hey, Peter, are you still here?
Hey, Brian, so we've talked a little bit about me running the BAA Half Marathon, but what is your next race?
Well, I have got the Mount Desert Island, which is in Maine, half marathon, coming up the week after, actually in October.
Oh, right.
And then I have the, of course, Millinocket Marathon, where I will be running through, hopefully, snow and freezing temperatures and wolf packs to complete two 13.1-mile loops through Millinocket.
You know, speaking of loops, huge shout out to longtime listener, friend of the show, Greg Shea. For completing his first 50K ultra.
This is a guy who ran the Boston Marathon maybe 10 or 12 years ago, had such an awful experience that he'd never do anything like that again.
You know, Brian, I don't want to say that you and I are single-handedly responsible for his amazing turnaround in the field of running.
You know, since Greg's not here, we can say anything about him we want.
Well, then if that's the case, I think we are responsible. We turned we turned that tall man right around and made him a superstar. Anyway, congratulations, Greg. You are our hero.
I concur.
Brian, real quick, underneath the sort of umbrella of things that aren't about running...
You mean the everything else category?
Correct. Have you done, like I asked you, have you listened? Have you done what I requested of you? Have you managed to watch all 8 episodes of the first season of the Netflix original series, Stranger Things?
I am completely finished with that show, except for the last 2 episodes.
All right.
So I am within striking distance. I'm loving it. I love every episode of it, every part of it, every minute.
If anybody out there does not know what I'm speaking about, don't research it. Don't look into it.
No.
Turn on Netflix, borrow a friend's code, get in there. Just watch the first episode. You'll know, much like the Barkley Marathon documentary, if it's for you or not, after the first 40 minutes. Enjoy. Brian... Once I'm healed.
Yes. And running again, which you will be soon. Oh,
I can't wait. I wish to attempt a beer mile.
Oh.
I'm verbaling on a beer mile.
I wasn't expecting this to crop up.
I know. I've been really brewing on it. No pun intended.
Bam. The beer mile in which you drink an entire 12-ounce beer, you run a quarter mile, you drink another 12-ounce beer, you run a quarter mile, you drink another 12-ounce beer, you run a quarter mile, you drink another 12-ounce beer, you run a quarter mile. That's 4 beers, 4 quarter miles, 1 mile. And then apparently you throw up and collapse, which I think is what most people do.
Aha, but what I'm going to do different than most people who've done this is I'm going to have the tutelage of Mr. Paul Davies.
A professional beer milist is going to train you into doing... You know what this requires a lot of? Running and beer drinking.
Do you wish to be a part of this at all?
I don't know if this is good for my health, but it sounds like a lot of fun. The one thing I will say...
Yes.
...is that I run so slowly...
Yes. Because your heart monitor training?
By the time I get through each quarter mile, I'll need a beer. Because it'll be, you know, like an hour or so.
That's not true, but I still think you'd be good at it.
I don't know if that's true, given my advanced age.
I think once you've conquered Millinocket, anything is possible.
I'll need a beer mile? All right, well, keep me posted. I know that your Achilles tendons are going to keep you from... running while drinking any beer, so you might as well just have a beer on me and enjoy it.
Hey.
This has been episode 41 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Thank you to listener Gray for sending in his voice memo. And why not copy Gray's path to stardom by recording your very own voice memo with your own questions, musings, or rants, and email them to us here at howwasyourruntoday@gmail.com. Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. I keep mine at my physical therapist's ointment bag. But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and easier than getting bonked in the head by a gladiator at 6:30 in the morning.
You had it coming.
For everything else, please check out the new website at hwyrt.com.
New website?
Just go there, Peter. It's on the internet.
It's so... I don't know how... The Commodore 64, does that still work?
Tandy? Hey, Peter. Keep recovering, will you?
I will do what I can. I will not have a good run today, but I'll watch you do it. Hey, Brian.
Yes, Peter?
How was your run today?
My run included my first ascent of Summit Ave in Boston.
Welcome. It's really Brookline.
Is Brookline not part of our magnificent city of Boston, or is it its own city?
No, it was separated out in the 1700s. It was part of Boston.
1700s. Well, I missed that town meeting. So what do you want from me? I didn't read the record.
I will pull
I didn't read the minutes of
I'll
that meeting.
I'll pull that record for you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Summit Ave. Awesome.
So I just missed it. Okay, so Brookline's no longer part of Boston. In any case...
No, they use the brook to define the line. What brook is that, do you know? The Muddy River. And now you know. And that's one to grow on.
So the... Okay. The brook is a river.
It's an estuary. And it feeds into the Charles
River. The
brook
that creates the line is actually a river. Why don't they call it River Line?
Because the River Line
yeah.
was already being used in Europe for mm-hmm. cruise ships up and down the Rhine.
By Marty Perillo and his tours?
He's dead.
Son's not.
Nope. Business is booming.
Remember my dad? He's frozen now, but he still wants to sell you a tour in Europe.
And Fudgy the Whale. He's, he's going to be there. The Cookie Push. I'm Tom Carvel. I'm also Al Goldstein. I used to think Tom Carvel and Al Goldstein were the same person.
I used to think Tom Carvel and Colonel Sanders were the same person.
Colonel Donnie Sanders.
Always funny.
Always funny.
Always.
Always talking about funny. Real people in real situations in a disparaging way. Always funny.
And that's really the heart of this show, isn't it?
Come on, break.